put in. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus commanded to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Jesus spoke in parables about a woman who turned her house upside down to try to find one lost coin. A man who found treasure in a field and sold everything that he owned to purchase that field. And Jesus taught about a rich man who was making so much product that he had to build bigger and more barns to store his wealth. The rich man said, "Now I can relax and enjoy my life." But God said, "Tonight your earthly life is over." Jesus warned us to be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Jesus speaks more about money than he does about faith, love, forgiveness, or resurrection. And I think the reason for this is pretty obvious. The subject of money invades and influences and touches nearly every area of our lives. Can I get amen there?
Amen.
Yeah. Money makes the world go round. In the text we read earlier, the prophet Malachi expressed how God expected his people to give their offerings. Let me give you some background and context. Here in Malachi's day, the people of God faithfully came to worship at the temple. Some folks didn't have much to give, and other people had more to give. On the Sabbath, all the signs of worship were there. The people of Judah prayed to God. They sang songs of praise, they lit candles, they burned incense, they listened to the word of the Lord, and the congregation took up an offering. It seemed like everything was fine. And yet we noticed that God was not pleased. The truth was that these people of God had not given their best. These believers in the true and living God had the audacity, the arrogance, and the nerve to bring less than their best animals for sacrifice at the temple. Why is this important? I'm glad you asked. You must understand that in those days, animals were a commodity like money, to trade, to buy and sell, to get other stuff. Animals were costly to feed and to care for. Animals were a major part of your income and demonstrated your financial status. Month after month, year after year, the majority of folks brought their lame, blind, diseased animals as offering to the Lord. Can you imagine that? You see, these people of God gave God less than their best. What happened to their best animals? These worshipers kept their best animals for themselves. All of their best animals were used for personal wants, wishes, real or perceived needs. In other words, God was telling his people in those days, only your best is acceptable to me. Well, that was then and this is now. But I fear that we're not that much different today. Too many in our churches across the country have become indifferent, too casual, too nonchalant about what we give to the Lord. You and I experience less than the best in so many areas of our lives that we become used to giving back the minimum. Often it doesn't seem like our government gives 100%. Anybody want to defend the U.S. government right now? Anybody want to defend the state government or the local government? Yeah. Are they giving us 100%? The rising of cyber thieves, caught corrupt officials that face no punishment. They leave the homeless suffering in our streets. Too many of our schools are failing. Taxes for the majority are high, while the very rich pay very little. So it's understandable that we don't want to give our best. Individually, half of all our marriages fail. Our patience and commitment in our relationships is slight. And so we become tired and cynical. Nobody else seems to be giving their best, so why should we? You see, it wasn't a question of ability for folks in Malachi's day. The people had the means to give God their best. They could have offered their best and most valuable animals for sacrifice to God, but they refused. And remember, God did not ask the people to give more than they had. Just the best of what they had. All through the Bible, we see evidence of individuals and the nation of Israel at different times trying to get by with little effort, only a portion of their love, and just a little bit of commitment to the Lord. You remember Cain and Abel? Abel's income was flocks of sheep and goats. His brother Cain worked in the fields and made money off of fruits and vegetables. Both brothers gave an offering to the Lord. Abel gave the first portions of his best animals, and Cain gave some of his fruits and vegetables. The Lord was pleased with Abel's offering, but not with Cain's. Does that mean that God likes meat better than fruits or vegetables? No, the problem is not that God is a vegan. The problem was that Cain did not give his best. Some of us can show up for worship only when they feel like it, maybe 8 out of 52 Sundays a year. I pray now and then, maybe 3 times a month. And I'll serve and help out around the church about 4 hours of my free time per year. I'll put in less than 1% of my income in the offering plate, or sometimes even less, whatever I just have left at the end of the month, after I've taken care of me, myself, and I. Isn't it true that many of us give 100% to our priorities in life? Isn't that right? Isn't it true that you and I give our all if we really care about something? Isn't it true that we try to give our best to what and whom we love? I can't judge you or evaluate what level you yourself are on in your giving to God. You know the old saying, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't wear it. I'm not talking to you if you're satisfied with giving your best to the Lord. I can only look at myself. But I want you to ask yourself, have you been giving God your best? Are you giving the best to the Lord in your attitude and your efforts and your actions and your time and your talent, your money, and everything else in your life? And please don't waste time comparing yourself to somebody else. This is about you and God alone. The question is not how much you give, but have you given your best? Only you can answer that before God. When I was in kindergarten, long, long time ago, I made a clay ashtray for my mom. You know how they used to have that offered in class, arts and crafts. class, you could do that. And so I molded this ashtray and I shaped it. I chose blue as the color to paint it. My teacher put it in that oven and baked it. And it came out all uneven, just like a circle glob of clay with a dent in the middle. And guess what? My mom didn't even smoke. But she loved that ashtray because it was the best that I could do at 5 years old. She kept it many years after that. Now, if I gave my mother that same gift today, messed up and all those imperfections, she would think that I was crazy. Because now I have a much greater ability. I don't know about you, but when I think of God's goodness towards me, it's incredible. It's amazing. And I don't deserve it. Remember that Jesus didn't chip a nail or stub a toe or break a leg for us. Jesus experienced an excruciating, painful, bloody death for you and I. We were bought for a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus was hated and despised, and yet he took on our pain and bore our suffering that we deserved. Jesus was innocent. And those nails in his hands and that piercing in his side was all because of humanity's sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Only the best for us. And the Lord continues to give us his best. Remember that car accident that you somehow escaped? What about that money that came through for you just in the nick of time? Remember when the doctor said, "We've done all we can and your disease went into remission." Only the best. Perhaps you recall the terrible loneliness of losing a loved one. And yet God comforted you and gave you the ability to face the future. Your child got in trouble, but God rescued them. You failed more than once, but he picked you up and empowered you to start all over again. Only the best. You thought that divorce would break you forever, but it didn't. The Lord loved and encouraged you to go forward. You survived. You are still here. You made some poor decisions and some wrong choices, and yet you still recovered. Only the best. Please don't forget that job that you didn't get, but somehow you got a better job instead. What about your house, your car, and all those creature comforts and those awesome vacations? So many good times with families and friends. All of those precious memories. Only the best. Or don't you remember that wonderful love that God brought into your life? That person that you claim as the only one that would put up with you. And how you stayed with each other through all the ups and downs. What about the children that the Lord gave you and enabled you to raise to become happy and successful adults? Or all of those incidents and situations and issues that are too personal for you to publicly admit. The Lord our God stayed by you and gave you only the best. So what about you? What will you give to the Lord? Is it your best? Amen.